Well, let's speak to Elisa Pieri now, a lecturer at sociology at the University of Manchester, carried out research on pandemics, and you've been in to see me just in the last sort of month or so, Elisa. Good to talk to you again.
Good morning.
Under sad circumstances, though, what kind of repercussions do we see? You know, when things like schools start closing like they have in Ireland, should we be prepared? I mean, I know Boris has said that's not going to help anybody, but, you know, things change on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, they do change, and it's important that we continue to monitor the situation and are prepared to be flexible. However, when school closures apply, we have a kind of domino effect, so we can see that, for instance, healthcare workers also tend to have families, and therefore they will also be put at an increased burden if they have to then take care of their children as well as perform their duties of care in their work setting. So there are all sorts of repercussions when you close a school, and it may not be appropriate, as we heard in this case, given that children themselves are not particularly susceptible to get the virus in any form that is very serious. So the health benefit would also be kind of counteracted by the fact that the school closures are probably only going to be planned for a short time, so not very effective in that as well. But all sorts of implications and effects will ripple differently for different groups of people. So again, if you are living on your own or if you are isolated and more vulnerable, you will face a greater burden with even self-isolation, which is what we are seeing now, the 7 days of self-isolation advised for anyone who feels they have one of the two symptoms of coronavirus. So in that case, you will struggle to provision for your food, your medicine. And in previous cases of pandemics, we've seen, for instance, with influenza pandemics, the attempt to create a buddy system where you would have a dedicated person that you sort of select before the pandemic kicks in to help you out, to deliver for you some food and some other resources you need. But again, this relies on people having a network, having other family members, close friends, or people they can rely upon. And it's not always the case.
Do you know, a friend of mine has started putting together sort of panic parcels where it's got dried food and all sorts for members of his family because he's panicking that much. I was I was hosting an event in Manchester last night, and I was sat with a group of people on a table I'd never met before, various different walks of life, different ages, backgrounds. And I said, what do you all think about, you know, the coronavirus? And one girl said, I just don't know what to think. The guy next to me said, well, I don't have any elderly relatives who are most at risk, so I'm not in fear of that. I kind of think I'm probably going to get it, but I'll be okay and I'll just carry on. Some people, though, are getting very anxious. They sneeze or they feel a bit cold and you think, oh my God, I've got it. How do you stop people, you know, becoming that fearful and that anxious? Because they're not good things.
No, it's not a good thing to panic, and it's definitely through providing information both of about what we know and also about the uncertainties that we have that we can reassure people of where we are and slowly build more knowledge as we go along. We certainly don't want people to become alarmist and to start stocking up when there is no real concern about running out of food in the supermarkets in the long term. But what we don't want also is people being complacent and thinking just because they don't have elderly relatives that they care about that everything is going to be fine. I mean, we cannot allow something of an emergency like a pandemic circumstance to make us disregard human rights and not take care of the most vulnerable members of our society, in this case, the elderly or people with health complications. So we must do our utmost to mitigate and minimize the letalities and the sort of incidence of this disease on these elderly people and vulnerable people. But along with them, there will be homeless, there will be like groups in our society that struggle normally to access basic medical services. And now with an emergency, they will also be even more vulnerable than before. So again, we cannot leave them behind just because we might have our own support network, our own relatives that can come and help us if we self-isolate. We must put in place solutions that also take into account the digital divide, the fact that not everyone is going to be able to have internet and access all the NHS information online, as advised yesterday after the COBRA meeting debrief. we have to put other systems of communication in place, other ways of reaching hard-to-reach groups and vulnerable groups as well.
Okay, good advice there. Maybe just sort of, you know, think of others as well, even if you're okay. Lovely to talk to you again. Thank you very much
for all the
updates. Really appreciate it. Elisa Pieri there, lecturer at sociology at the University of Manchester.